John chapter number 6. It is an amazing thing to me how many times you can read a passage of Scripture and you find something new. Now, you'll notice the Bible said in John 6, verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him. Look why they is following Him. Because they saw His miracles, which He did on them, that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. You might not know what He's going to do, but I can tell you today that He always knows what He's going to do. And Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, "There's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, underline that in your Bible. I'm glad we got a God can talk this morning. "And make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number was about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were all filled, He said to His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained. Underline this, what I want to preach out of this morning. Over and above unto them that had eaten. You may be seated today. I want to preach this morning on the God that is over and above. God that is over and above. Let me ask you something. How big is your problem? I would love to tell you today, if you'd love God and you're faithful in the service of the Lord, that you wouldn't have many issues. But I want to remind you today that God's people has never had an easy time. The children of Israel, as they was under the bondage of Pharaoh, God rose up a leader named Moses to lead them out toward the promised land. And they were worked hard with brick and mortar. And the Bible seemed that the harder things got on them, the more that they multiplied. It lets me know that we are supposed to be a people that we get bigger under pressure. In other words, God will make you a littler so you can be bigger. Now, I want to say today on this God that is over and above. In verse number 5, notice this. there is the Savior's look. He said this. And Jesus went up into a mountain and there He sat with His disciples. And then He simply said that He was the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company coming to Him, He saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now there's the Savior's look. Let's look at Him just a minute. The Bible said after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee and great multitude of people followed Him for His miracles. In other words, He had done so many great things for Him. I wonder, would you follow Him if He wasn't doing miracles in your life every day as He did for these folks? Be careful not to always be looking for a miracle. Because the greatest miracle in your life is when God put His Son on a cross to die for your sins and would send the Holy Ghost of God to deal with you and let you know you was a sinner and you walked toward God by faith and He eternally saved you. That's the greatest miracle that's ever been known unto man. So we need to be walking with Him not for what He can do for us, but what He's done to us. He's changed us, become our friend and our Savior. And so we see the Savior's look all of a sudden in verse number 5. The Bible says, Jesus then lifted up His eyes. I want to say, first of all, in verse number 3, He went up into a mountain. Jesus sits high. There's nobody like Him. He sits on the throne in glory today at the right hand side of the Father. And nobody's took His position and nobody will ever take His position, for He is a God that sits on high this morning. We see the Savior's look. He sits high. Number 2, I'm glad that He sees low. In verse number 5, the Bible simply said that, and He saw a great company come unto Him. You say, how low can He see? I'm glad one day He saw how low I was, but yet how low I was, He still loved me and found me. I'm glad He turned the searchlight of glory on my dark soul and drove me out of the wilderness of sin and saved me by the good grace of God. The Savior's look. We see that He sets high. We see that He sees low. You say, preacher, as low as I am, can He see you? Oh, yes, because He sets real high. He sets high. He sees low. But thirdly, the Bible said in verse 5, He speaks out. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes, saw a great company, He saith unto Philip, aren't you glad you've got a God can say something to you? I'd hate to know that I was worshiping a statue on a Chinese restaurant. I went in the dry cleaners this week and so there they had their little Buddha stuck in up on the computer so nobody could see him. Remind me of a Baptist. Not many Baptists want you to see their God, but I come to tell you today, honey, I'm glad I've got a God not only can see me, not only where He sits, but I'm glad He can say something to me. That little God has sat on their counter all day and He won't say a word, but I've got a God that can say something to us all this morning. because He loved us and He sets on high today. So, we see the Savior's look. Can I tell you, He's looking this way this morning? I sure am glad He's got His eyes upon His children. Now, watch this. Not only is there the Savior's look, but now you'll notice there's the saint's lack. Look in verse 7. Now this amazing thing. He said something to Philip in verse 5. He lifted up his eyes and he said to Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Verse 7, Philip answered him. 200 pennyworth. All they had was a denarii, a day's wage between them's all they had. And he said, 200 pennyworth of bread's not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's Peter brother, saith unto him. Now, not only the Savior's look, but the saint's lack. You say, where do you see the saint's lack? Oh, it's loaded in verse number 7. First of all, I want to say that they lacked funds. Now, bills come unexpectedly. How do we meet it when unexpectedly a bill comes due? Now, they didn't have any kind of crises. All of a sudden, they're walking with the Lord. And the Lord brings an obstacle to them. Matter of fact, they didn't have the problem till the Lord said something to them. And all of a sudden, you'll see that in the saints' lack, they lacked funds. Number two, I want to say they lacked faith. He said, why do they lack faith? He said, well now Lord, look around here. We ain't got but a day's work. There's 5,000 men sitting around here. He said, it's not sufficient for every one of them. So they lacked faith. But then thirdly, I think that in the saints' lack, not only did they lack funds, not only did they lack faith, but get it on this, will you, preacher, this morning, because I ain't going to preach a real long time. They lacked foresight. Why do you say that? They said, well, first of all, they thinking too little. He said, this ain't enough here for everybody just to get a little. Can I tell you my mindset at Liberty Baptist Church? When you come around God, that not everybody get a little, honey, but everybody would get a whole lot. Can I tell you the God that is over and above, He don't want you to get a little. He wants you to have a lot of what He's got to offer this morning. I know these boys were Baptists because they're thinking about like Baptists. Just a little. What's the least we can do? You ever heard that? Well, that's the least we can do. We've changed that mindset here in this economy of God and the Holy Ghost and the dispensation of the church age. Not what's the least we can do. What's the most we can do? That's why God don't bless the average Baptist church. Their mindset's wrong. That's the least we can do. Quit thinking about what's the least you can do. What's the most you can do for God? The least you can do is come to church on Sunday. That's the least you can do. Matter of fact, you've not showed God a favor by coming to church this morning. God's giving you a favor. I've got a wife over yonder. I wish to God she could be here this morning. There's a lot of folks in funeral homes today. Wish they could be in their place. So let's keep things in the right perspective. Lord, there ain't enough here just to give everybody a little. Aren't you glad that God don't think on that mindset? I'm going to show you what's an amazing thing that a writer showed me yesterday studying the Word of God. Now watch your Bible. The Savior's look. The saint's little. But look, if you would, verse number 9. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves. And look here, they're still looking at negative things. And 2 small fishes. What are they among? Simeon. Now the Savior's look and the saint's lack, but let's look at the supplies a little. Verse 9. Look at his count. Now he had them boys to look around and take an inventory, and he counted. He said, I tell you what we got here. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He looked around that little boy's bag lunch that his mom had packed and said, let's see what you got in your bag, boy. He brought it to him. They said, well, there's 5 barley loaves here and there's 2 small fishes. Said, Brother Daniel, they're not even keepers. They're throwbacks. Said, I don't even know why you brought them down here where Jesus is at. But can I tell you this morning, honey, I'm glad Jesus loves throwbacks. Amen. I'm glad He'll take what nobody else will take. When the Baptist hierarchy brethren won't take you, have you, there's a God in heaven that'll take throwbacks this morning. I doubt when this woman packed this little lad's lunch, did she know what she was really doing for a multitude of people. That little old boy sent out, no doubt them little old barley loaves and 2 little old fishes, no doubt she didn't think they would amount to much. But I want you to notice this. As I look in verse number 9, you'll see there's the supplies that is little. You'll see his count. But Brother Lee, look at his calculation. What are they among so many? Can I tell you something? I know it don't mean nothing to many of y'all because everybody ain't a preacher. But I'm going to tell you the nugget the old man of God gave me out of a book yesterday. This is why you need to have books. So you can learn something. Amen. Them old preachers, you say, well, we just don't study. We'll open up the books and let her fly. Nothing flies. You got to study to show yourself approved. I've heard old mully grub preachers so jealous that say, well, you ought not preach with an outline. Brother Mike, I was running a meeting one time not far from here. I seen the old man of God. I done preached there too. Matter of fact, Brother Tim, Miss Deanne got saved there. I'm saying too much on the radio, but I'm going to tell you this morning. I was a preacher, my outline by my Bible. I seen him stand up and look on there, and he said, Lord, he's got an outline. He never did have me back to preach no more, but it was several got saved during the revival meetings. Somebody told him it's wrong to say. I love what my pastor said. He was at a camp meeting one time, Miss Sheila. He had his Bible up just a preaching. Outlines flew out everywhere. And car keys. And there was an old man of God looked over and he said, said, you boys couldn't preach a lick unless you had it on an outline. I love what Brother Boatner said. He said, well, let me tell you something, friend. He said, God gives some of His preachers so much they got to write it down. Somebody say amen right there. I say, praise be to our great God that has given us a book of all books. And that's the book of the Bible. There ain't no book like His book. Ain't no word like His word. I say, hallelujah. Set our soul afire, Lord. Yeah, the supply is little. Brother Lee, you'll like this. Look at his count. Had 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish. But now look at his calculation. This is what the old man of God said. I wrote down. You see, he calculated without Christ. Now see, that didn't mean nothing about the 70 of you. But I get to thinking, that's just like me. I look at this, and I look at that, and I say, now Lord, that don't add up. But you know what I'm doing? I'm calculating without Christ. Christ can do anything. His count. His calculation. Lord, what is this that we got to so many? Can I tell you, your little means so much to others.
Sure.
Just your little bit of worship. I know Miss Peggy and Brother Rufus might not think much about this. Just her amen and shout, little hand raising goes a long way. Brother Donald gets excited and hollers glory and raises little hands up toward God for just a little bit of worship and a little bit of shout will bless a whole lot of people. Last Sunday morning, I had more texts, I had more phone calls over that message that God sent in this place Sunday morning, anything I preached here in 2 years. And when I walked out through that door, you know what the devil said? You're a moron. But Brother Jerry, I've noticed just what little bit I get, God can use it to help others. God don't want me big. God wants me to stay little. When you stay little, you're depending on others. I never worried about a thing. When I was living at home, my mom and dad, one thing was always so fearful in my heart, Brother Jerry, that was my daddy going to die. I was so fearful of that. My daddy was my hero. I'd go to school and get in fights with a little boy because my daddy would say, he said, I killed Indians with Daniel Boone. I went and told everybody my daddy killed Indians with Daniel Boone. I said he had a slingshot. Nobody could shoot it like my daddy. They'd make fun and push me, and I wasn't saved then. I'd push back. And don't push on me much. I'm saved and I'll still push back. The supplies were little. His count, his calculation, but look, verse 10, his counsel. Jesus said, verse 10, Jesus said, what's he said to you about your situation? Jesus said, not only their count and their calculation, but now their counsel. What's Jesus said? You know, if I mind my flesh, I'll get in trouble. Every time. My flesh has never done nothing but got me in trouble. Aren't you glad that in your situation you can have a word? You say, well, let me ask you something, preacher. How'd they get a word? Let me tell you how they got a word. They was close to it. You know the reason some of y'all ain't got a word in your situation? Because you're not in the Word. This is the way Jesus speaks now. The Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. And let me tell you, what you're hearing, if it don't line up in this Bible, it's not of God, it's of the devil. There counts. Jesus said. I'm glad he knows what to say. Jesus said. Now they was calculating their problem without Jesus in the mix. So we see the Savior's look. We see the saints' lack. We see their supplies were little. Verse number 11, notice the surrendered loaves. Jesus took the loaves. Can I tell you, Jesus, take what you got? Whatever you got to bring Him, Jesus will take it. Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. I want to say something about these loaves just a minute, and I'm going to be done preaching. First of all, the loaves were brought. What have you got you can bring to Him? Verse 11, when He took the loaves and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples. Not only were the loaves brought, but they were broke. Thirdly, not only were the loaves brought and broke, but the loaves were blessed. You say, how was they blessed? Because Jesus put His hands on them. Jesus breaking you. You know what I didn't understand as a young preacher and as a young Christian? There are some things that I see today that I didn't see coming in my life. I didn't see how that the Lord was really going to break me. And I had no idea of what He would use to break me. And He's used several main things to break me. But during that breaking process, I just be honest with you, I couldn't enjoy it at all. But when He's done breaking, I look back and I notice how blessed I've been that He would be concerned enough for this preacher boy. He'd reach in my life and break me and hold me real close to bless me. Because I'm going to tell you, anything He puts His hands on is a blessing. And then, them little old loaves was benefited. Brother LaVon Boatner, y'all pray for Brother LaVon. Brother Jake, he's been in the hospital twice this week with heart trouble. As a young preacher, I got to be around Brother LaVon. He just reached out to me, helped me. He told me something one day that I didn't understand then. He said, Ken, you know what God's going to do to you? He said, let me tell you why I know He's going to do it to you, because you love Him. He's going to break you. And the reason He's going to break you is so He can pass you around. And let me tell you, the reason God will allow things to break you, He can pass you around. Some of these marriages has been broken. Some of your homes have been broken. Some of your health has been broken. But through all this breaking, you know what God's doing? When other folks have a problem with marriage, He takes you and He passes you out over there. When somebody goes through another storm. Now, I want to say something right quick, Brother Jason, you and Miss Amanda. With your family and how God has allowed things to happen in your life, sovereignly happen, not by mistake, sovereignly. Then it amazed the family in y'all's same situation last week. You know where they was? They was out ministering in that same situation. You know why nobody else here could go? Because nobody else has been in that situation.
These loaves was presented to him, just simple loaves, and Jesus got them. And look what he done. Oh, God. He gave thanks for them. And that's something in your breaking situation, that he thanks God that he could break you to be a blessing to others. Some of you won't allow God to break you. You're running from it. But let me tell you, there's a sovereign God in heaven that can put the red light on and the stop sign up. He's going to catch you in the morning. But oh, how blessed I've been. How benefited I've been. God would take such little things and bless them. Now I close. There's the Savior's look. Matter of fact, God has saved some of you. Not that you go into a corn crib and go to sleep, but that you go and be a blessing and tell others, reach others that was in your same condition. Men on drugs and had a bad lifestyle. You know what I say? I used to be there. But God saved me. God's given me a lot greater life than what that crowd gave me. And I notice this, churchy people don't like that. They like everything to be churchy and just easygoing. Nobody rocks nobody's world. Walk in church the way you was yesterday. Leave out bored and tired to death. No change in your life. This formality. I'd stay at home before I'd do it. It's pitiful what people have to endure that they call church. Matter of fact, I'm enjoying where I go to church this morning. The Savior's look, the saints' lack, the supplies, the little, the surrendered loaves. But lastly, the sacred lesson. There's a sacred lesson here, and this is what I want you to know. Miss Sherry, are you able to play? If you take these notes, I want you to write this down. I want you to always remember this on this sacred lesson. Verse number 12, look what happened. Jesus took them, He gave thanks, He distributed them. They were filled. He said to His disciples, "You're not done yet. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered themselves together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which they had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, "This is of a truth that the prophet should come unto the world." A sacred lesson. Watch in verse 10. Write this down. I always remember this. It's a great nugget. There's a sacred lesson here about obedience. And listen to your preacher and listen real good at what I got to say right here. Obedience. Christ told them to set down. Their faith was weak. If faith is weak, obedience is the best way that it may be strengthened. If your faith is weak, obedience is the best way that your faith will be strengthened. They were weak in faith, but this is what He said, "Set down." They all sat down. You know why not many people see in Christ? They're not getting out of His way, standing in front of Him. Sit down.
You know what I've noticed in situations when I'm needing God to do over and above? As long as I'll stand there and do it, He'll let me do it in my feeble ways. Do you know that? He'll let me prove to myself that I'm the failure without Him that I really am. Because He says, and I preach Sunday night on it, without me you can do nothing. He says, sit down. I like what the writer said, Brother Joe. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, you know what that parallel gospel said? Green grass. He said, ain't it amazing? All of His sheep lays down in green pasture. Let the great shepherd lead them along. Obedience. Great lesson about obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Secondly, it's a lesson about thankfulness. You know what Christ did? And this is where I've tried to change my praying, Brother Gerald. It's a lesson about thankfulness. Christ thanked God for what He had. As your preacher this morning, can I say this to you? If you thanked God today for what you've got, and you woke up tomorrow and you only had what you thanked Him for today, what would you have tomorrow? It's a lesson on thankfulness. He looked up and He blessed it. Lord, thank You for what I got. You know what I want to say this morning? Thank You for what I got. It's a lesson on obedience. It's a lesson on thankfulness. It's a lesson on giving. I challenge everybody in this building to look at verse 13. It's a lesson on giving. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments that remained over and above. This is what I want to say. When we give, we will always have more than what we started with. You'll never outgive God. Some of you are so chinchy. Your mindset. Some preachers trained you. These preachers out about money, and they probably is on TV. But let me tell you, you're never going to be blessed till you see this concept of giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You see, God never allows a generous giver to be the loser. Never. A lesson on giving. Lastly, it's a lesson on Christ. He's over and above everything. For they picked up 12 baskets over and above. Now, how'd that come to pass? All because of Christ, who can do over and above any situation that you got. I'm glad there's a God of grace. 5 loaves, 5,000 men. 5, the number of grace. Aren't you glad God's interested in grace? You say, Brother Ken, how can God do over and above for me? Grace. You mean God would save me? He sure would. He can do over and above anything that we can ever think. Ain't that amazing? As far as I can think, God can do greater. God can save anybody. God can put any home together. God can change any nation. What you need this morning? My sister plays. I'm done preaching. I know it's been a little different this morning, but I want to open up this altar. I don't know what you need in your life, but I can tell you one thing God does. The God that can do over and above. Won't you come trust Him this morning in your situation? God, it's not enough. It's not enough. I ain't got enough to do it. Oh, I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about a problem that has arisen in your life and you need God to help you with it. Would you come this morning? Would you trust Him? What you need in your life.